Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 265.
This week on the podcast, the Alexander Murray healthcare bill is the will they or won't they breakout hit of the congressional season.
Plus, there's a chance you understand Trump's tax reform proposal better than he does.
And Trump is the one person who doesn't know what Sergeant Johnson signed up for, since he never signed up for it himself.
Plus, John Kelly hates that Representative Wilson is hiding all of her secrets under her elaborate hats.
And the DNC is either fully funded and ready for action, or broke and confused. As usual, they can't decide on a message.
We'll have all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hey guys, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and you can find us on the web at www.braintrustlive.com.
That's right.
Quick reminder before we move on. Puerto Rico still has no power.
Well, sure.
It's a month now since their hurricane.
Do we continue to give that update until December when they get it back for Christmas?
Maybe we should.
Yeah, why not?
I mean,
let's do it. We should, because you know what? People will forget.
I had almost forgotten, and then today I was like, you know what's crazy? I just remembered Puerto Rico still has no power.
That's right.
Yes. So keep that in mind as you choose which of your representatives to harass this week.
That's right. And unlike Houston, they won't be able to rally around their baseball team going to the World Series. So that's
right.
Just doubly sad for them.
I know. And I am from Yankee territory. So that was maybe the only baseball game I knew about all season.
Yeah.
I guess we couldn't really be like that upset about it because it felt like Houston really needed the win.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I rarely think Texas needs a win. But this time I sort of felt like, well, I guess we'll have to give it to
them. Have it.
It was my one moment of caring about sports all year.
Sure.
And I think I did it gracefully. You know?
Congratulations.
And now I can stop caring because my team isn't
you
in
sure
the
can.
World
but LA,
Series.
But LA's team is.
Listen, the Dodgers know what they did.
Oh, boy.
Moving on.
Next.
The Alexander Murray bill.
Yes.
We talked about this a little bit last week. This is a compromise bill that would fund some of those subsidies that Trump just decided he was going
to
cancel.
Right. This is similar to Puerto Rico in the sense that like we're going to continue to have to say that Puerto Rico still has no power. And somehow, mysteriously, we're still going to have to talk about healthcare bills.
Forever. It's never going to stop because...
How many times have we been done with healthcare bills?
I mean, at least three or four times...
Three or four?
In the last, well,
I was like,
it's like since summer ended.
I'm like, where have you been?
Like since the last time that they fully failed to repeal Obamacare, we've already had to go through it three or four times.
Right. Okay,
The Alexander Murray bill has 48 Democrats and 12 Republicans, according to Chuck Schumer.
Sure,
it has enough to pass. McConnell says he will schedule a vote for it, but only if Trump promises to sign it.
Right, and Trump had
not
much like
any
many
promises.
Issues. Has changed his mind, 14 times in the last five days?
It has been wild.
It's been wild.
This has been one of the most extreme examples of whoever the last person talking to him being the person whose idea he steals being the rule.
Yeah.
Like, he is just, he doesn't know where he stands on this.
No.
He stands wherever whoever's next to him stands.
Right.
Which is unfortunate for them because often it's a different person from a different party.
And
also, then they have to stand near him. That's gross.
Right.
But,
exactly.
So this bill is sort of necessary to stabilize the insurance markets.
Right, which is what they claim they want to do.
Right.
That's all they've been talking about.
Yeah, that's why they're taking away all the regulations. The markets will be very stable if there are no rules.
Having a stable market and a market-based situation. And it's like, all right, everybody. Like, just. But in this case, you do need that. But what they've been doing is destabilizing it.
Yeah.
So...
That's
why he doesn't know what he thinks, because he's been working so hard for the last 2 weeks to destabilize it.
This is contrary.
That now that he's faced with a solution to the destabilization that he himself has caused, it's very confusing for him.
Yeah. Because people are sometimes standing next to him saying, you should support this. And he's like, oh, sure,
yeah,
I support
right.
this. I should support this. This sounds great.
Yeah.
But then he forgets that this is the opposite of what he supports.
Right.
This is the first bipartisan thing that's come up in a while,
I know,
though.
Right? This bill could beat a filibuster.
I mean...
And there isn't even anyone trying to filibuster it.
Exactly.
But it could do it if it had to.
It could do it if it had to. That's how much support it has among 12 Democrats, or 48 Democrats and 12 Republicans.
Yeah.
But... In any case, those are just like the 12 Republicans that have been there for the last 100 years and are like yearning for the days of bipartisanship.
Of yore. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Uh-huh. Another legislative situation rising at the moment is there's budget discussions going on right now. They directly affect Trump's tax reform proposal.
Mm-hmm.
And we, unlike every other news source, are going to finally explain to you how.
Yeah,
because
and why.
Everyone keeps reporting on this by saying, well, they have to pass the budget bill in order to pass the tax proposal.
In getting the tax reform proposal passed. And it's like, huh?
And no one ever explains why that is.
No, like, why can't they just do tax reform?
Exactly. I mean, tax reform makes no mathematical sense.
No.
So I don't see why it should be tied to a budget.
No, neither does their budget doesn't either.
So it seems like these are both nonsensical things that they're just attempting.
From the people who want to put a balanced budget amendment into our Constitution that they think God wrote.
Right.
comes this budget.
That's right. This budget's all over the place in part because the House and the Senate passed very different versions of it.
Sure.
So Trump this afternoon had a conference call with the GOP being like, pass a budget, get your act together, because now they have to figure out what budget bill they're actually going to pass since they've passed two unrelated budget bills that have almost nothing to do with each other.
Yeah.
The group that has to work it out is called the Big Six.
Mm.
They love a good gang of something or a big something. Yeah. Do you remember when we went through and learned about how many gangs there had been?
Oh, yeah.
We got up to 14, right. I think. The gang of 14 was the biggest gang. That was almost too big of a gang. You can't get anything done with 14 people in your gang. That's crazy.
Right.
Like 6 to 8 people is the right number of people for your gang. But whatever. So the Big Six is people from the House and Senate and then some people from Trump's administration, the people that are going to have to work this out. But here's why they keep saying that they have to pass a budget in order to pass a tax reform proposal. It all has to do with the fact that they would like to use the budget reconciliation process to pass the tax reform proposal, because then they don't have to beat a filibuster. And since they're not going to get many Democratic votes, if any Democratic votes on this.
Sadly, there might be
some. I'm looking at Joe Manchin very aggressively with my evil eye. Uh-huh. But so in any case, they want to pass this using budget reconciliation. That's what they were going to use to pass Obamacare, the Obamacare repeal. So that's why. And we know how that turned out. It required them to have two Republicans defect in order to save the world. But in any case, in order to use a budget reconciliation process, you need a budget resolution.
Right. And if you remember back to that Obamacare repeal, the whole thing was, and this was where all the CBO scores were coming in, was that whatever they did, it couldn't basically, it basically sort of like had to fall within like the budget that they had passed,
and so
it couldn't
it couldn't increase the deficit by more than a certain amount. It couldn't, you know, like it couldn't increase spending by more than a certain amount. There are these, the budget resolution sets guidelines for what the budget can and can't do.
And since this tax reform bill is going to add all the trillions of dollars,
they need a new budget resolution in order
to allow themselves to have trillions of dollars worth of
nonsense to play with. So, and the big disagreement right now is that, you know, the House bill focuses a lot on cuts. So in the House bill, there's no social services anymore, and we cut taxes, but we cut everything.
Right.
There's no government. In the Senate bill, there's just a huge deficit.
Right, exactly.
They don't make the cuts.
Right.
They cut all the taxes.
Right. And because the Senate knows that selling cuts when they go back home in a statewide election is a little bit harder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. But so in any case, in order to pass these resolutions, they have to have a blueprint first of what they're going to do.
Yep.
And these budget resolution bills are in, they have been passed as two separate entities in the House and the Senate, but they need to go to committee and agree on, or they need to go to conference committee and agree on what the actual budget resolution that the whole of Congress has passed is going to be. So first they need to work out their differences.
That's been hard.
Yeah. So in any case, without that, tax reform cannot use the budget reconciliation process.
Right. And then they have to deal with the filibuster, which is inevitable.
Exactly. So that's why everyone keeps saying this budget is so important. That's why Trump is getting on the phone with them and complaining about this. Someone obviously explained this to him, because I don't believe that we didn't know this and he knew this.
Yeah. Correct.
But now the House and the Senate are sort of like left with a few paths. Because they, first of all, know how difficult it will be to vote to increase the deficit.
Right.
Like, that is the absolute opposite of what they claim.
Right. They are the deficit hawk.
They are deficit. And like, Paul Ryan is supposed to be our, like, budget
guru.
Czar.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what, what is he? What good is he?
Yeah, he's supposed to do the numbers.
Yeah. That was his whole appeal to them and supposedly to everyone. I don't understand how he's letting anyone get away with this.
Yeah.
But so they're, because they're trying to figure out a way around some of these obstacles on the electoral end, and because there are certain other obstacles that they have to figure out you know, with the budget reconciliation process, they have a few avenues. They could pass these tax cuts and then have them sunset after 10 years because you're not allowed to increase the deficit outside of the first 10-year window.
Sure.
That's what W did, yeah. Uh-huh.
And we remember back in 2011 when that came up, that's how we ended up also with the sequester too, was exactly. Whether we were going to keep these tax cuts. And then there was a whole budget disaster at that point.
You might, yes. So, remember the sequester, guys?
Kicking it down the road 10 years is not, seems like a great plan now. And seems like probably what they'll do because that's what they do.
Yeah.
But
have a meeting about the meeting that you're going to have next month.
Remember this podcast 10 years from now when we said that they shouldn't be doing that. Because
and in 10 years, we'll have like a complete collapse of the government and we'll all be like, how did this happen to us?
Right.
And it will be because of this specific thing. Mm-hmm. They could, if they were more responsible, pass smaller tax cuts that are permanent. That seems unlikely because the Tea Party is already up in arms about this. The chair of the House Freedom Caucus, Mark Meadows, has drawn a red line and said that they're not going to accept anything above a 20% corporate tax rate.
Right. But here's the thing, though, and this is what sort of like politically fascinates me about this whole thing and is obviously what they're concerned about, too, with putting, you know, passing, adding $1.5 trillion to the deficit, right. Is that, you know, the Tea Party... Say what you will about them, and I will allow you to say literally whatever you want about them. Because
unless it's that they're geniuses.
Right. Don't say that. But they really came into being during a lot of budget issues under George W. Bush. Yeah. They sort of like really got their sea legs under Obama and their racism. But I mean, they sort of like they started with being pissed that George W. Bush had these tax cuts and then they were refusing to actually cut anything, and then that's sort of like what blew up the budget.
Right.
So, and our just sort of like, you know, deficit on the whole. So they're not going to be super stoked on adding that many trillions of dollars to the deficit.
Well, they shouldn't be.
And no,
there are no rules anymore, though, you guys. That's problem, is I don't know what the Freedom Caucus wants anymore. They want whatever the opposite of what everyone else wants is.
Exactly.
Yes. But they have a lot of... They want the opposite of what everyone else wants.
Yes.
So that includes members of their own party.
Yes.
So it's kind of hard sometimes to know what they'll stoop to.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't have guessed that Paul Ryan would stoop to this kind of a deficit creation conversation. I mean, I guess
this is what they do. This is what Republicans do.
Yeah.
They do it every time. They don't cut anything. I mean, they do cut things, but they don't cut enough to actually pay for their tax cuts, and then they leave us in a fucking shit show of a budget mess.
And then they're like, Democrats can't do anything.
This is what they have always done.
Yeah.
This is every time they do tax reform, this is what happens.
I'm not shocked that the Republican Party would stoop to this. I'm shocked that a guy who is specifically appointed to be their budget whiz is trying to sell this to us.
Correct.
I get that he would vote for it. I know he's not above voting for it.
Right.
I'm surprised that he is willing to sell it.
Yeah.
And I know that the House bill called for cuts, because what he really wants is to take away the wonderful Social Security benefits that he enjoyed as a 16-year-old.
Probably privatize them and do all of those things. Yes.
He doesn't even, I mean, if you can't support yourself, you're being lazy. I mean, why would you deserve Social Security benefits?
Yeah.
If your parent suddenly dies, why would we pay you money in order to make sure you can eat? You're lazy. Get a job.
Yeah. Same.
But I'm surprised by his willingness to participate in this conversation, knowing that the conversation is about whether or not we're accepting a huge deficit. And the conversation is with people who are willing to just create a deficit without doing much about it.
Right. Yes.
Like, he's supposed to be the guy with the math.
Yes.
That's all he offers.
He offers
dumb photos of him in workout garb.
Right.
Or gear. With
and
a dumb
math.
Backward baseball hat and math. That's it.
Yep.
Otherwise, all he offers is Satan's smile, as I've been calling his dumb look on his face.
Yeah, I like
In any case, they could decide to try to split the tax reform plan up into separate bills, some of which could pass with reconciliation and some of which couldn't. I don't think they'll be able to get the Democrats on board to participate in this version of the plan.
Sure.
Because if they pass some of them through the regular voting process, they don't have to meet the same requirements as the reconciliation rules. The other thing they could do is just decide these aren't the rules anymore. Because
we've done it once already in this administration.
Exactly. So the nuclear option, as we always term it, is always an option because you should remember this is a social contract.
Correct.
Government is a social contract.
That's right.
No one has to follow any of the rules that they want.
That's why we have Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch exactly. currently, because we decided that the rules that we had weren't the rules that we had anymore.
Exactly. It's why dictators rise. It's why everything that happens in a place where you kind of wish it wouldn't happen happens.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, all government laws and all government rules are part of a social contract that they can break at any time.
That's right.
So Mitch McConnell could just break the contract.
Yeah.
He could just decide we have these tax cuts now.
Yeah.
And then that would be that.
Right.
So what we're saying is be hopeless and there's almost nothing you can do. I know, but also, right?
It's a very nihilist view, basically.
Try your hardest to make sure that he doesn't feel comfortable doing this.
Right. Yes.
Because once again, if he does this, we can choose not to bring that party back to power. So
correct.
We do have the ultimate Trump card.
Yes.
In any case, once they pass their budget, they're probably going to try to fast track this tax plan,
yes.
and we probably won't have enough time to hear any real discussion about
no.
it. So let's just break down what the Senate bill requires of House Republicans to endorse if they want, because they're pushing for the House to accept the Senate bill at the moment.
Right.
I want to just put all of these House Republicans on notice.
Yes.
So that they realize that they cannot, as Republicans, go out and say that they
that
are Republicans.
That they're balancing the budget, that they're adding money to the deficit.
The Senate bill is not balanced over 10 years.
Correct.
It adds $1.5 trillion to the federal deficit through cuts. And it doesn't include spending regulations, which the House, that's how the House claims that they're reining in things.
Sure.
Is they put spending regulations on, you know, they cut committees, they cut they cut funding to state. I mean, they cut a whole bunch of stuff. They put caps on stuff. They cut Medicaid. They do whatever. But that's honestly, that's how you're honest about tax cuts.
Right.
Is you have to be willing to be like, yeah, we're going to cut your taxes, but here's this service you enjoy. We have to cut that
because
math is math.
Yes.
The Senate, in not doing that, is literally just creating an irresponsible budget disaster.
Right.
And that I am okay with deficit spending if it's invested in people.
Yes.
I think the most of the left is.
Yeah, I was going to say, we should go on record here that we do
not
give one single solitary damn about how much money we're adding to the deficit.
Yeah.
I would prefer to be doing it not because we cut taxes for the top, you know, 1%.
Right.
I would prefer that we add $1.5 trillion to the deficit through giving me something.
Yeah. Giving everyone something.
Right?
Like, these tax cuts could pay every worker $1,000 according to Slate.
We could all get a pony.
We could all have a pony out of this. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if we all had ponies, that would drive the price of ponies up, and then we'd probably not be able to
but
all
instead,
have ponies.
But instead, rich people are going to get a bunch of money back on their taxes.
That they don't even need to buy a boat because they already have a boat.
They already have it. That's right.
God. Yes. In any case, the point is, I want Republicans to have to be honest about what it is to cut this kind of money.
Yes.
If you want to encourage deficit spending because there is a reason that you need to invest in people.
Yep.
You know, is it better to have a balanced budget? Sure, but only if people are comfortable and able to, you know, have the freedom to enjoy their lives.
Right.
If you're going to have deficit spending, you have to do one of two things. You have to either be providing something that will pay it forward ultimately. That's what investing in people often does.
Yep.
When you educate people, when you provide them with healthcare, you ultimately create you spur economic growth because you create opportunities for people.
Yes.
If you are going to create a deficit just by wanting tax cuts for the rich, you should know that the rich do pay for things. And the things that they pay for include Medicaid. They include money that we give poor people for healthcare. They include welfare programs like food stamps and Head Start and they include social programs that we all benefit from.
Right.
So literally go fuck yourselves. But you have to be honest if you're going to do this.
You do.
You have to be honest with yourself. And if you don't care about people, Paul Ryan doesn't care about people.
No.
He's honest about that.
He's released budgets upon budgets over the years that we have all decided that we hated because were terrible.
He doesn't care about people.
Exactly.
He honestly doesn't care about people.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear some bullshit from Mitch McConnell about how they care about people, so they had to cut rich people's taxes, but they just want to leave us with a deficit that, you know, disproportionately the rest of us will have to pay back.
Bingo.
Some bullshit.
Yeah.
In any case, Trump also stepped into the reason he needs this win at the moment is because he stepped into a lot of hot water this week because Frederica Wilson, who's a representative from Florida, leaked a story that put him in a less than positive light.
Yeah.
Basically, so there were those four soldiers that were killed in Niger last week, and Trump had to call their families, and that's what you do when a highly publicized attack like that happens.
Well, unless you're other presidents, and none of them called families.
Never.
None of them did it.
Except for the times that they did.
Except for all the times that all of them have.
Right. Yes, in any case, so he calls Maisha Johnson, who's the wife of Sergeant Johnson, who was killed in these attacks.
Yes.
And apparently, in consoling her, we'll say that with air quotes,
right.
Said that Sergeant Johnson, quote, knew what he signed up for.
Sure.
Nothing is more consoling than blaming the victim.
Well, for knowing. I feel very bad for you, but also he had it coming.
Exactly. So, in any case, everyone was in an uproar about this because
of course.
That was insensitive and a dick move.
So
then John Kelly, first time that he's exercised this level of poor judgment in the maelstrom that is the Trump sort of PR machine, steps in.
Usually he just is sitting somewhere in the audience or behind Trump and shaking
just like
his
with head. His head in his hands. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He said that he was offended that Representative Wilson had publicized what the president had said to this widow.
Yeah.
And then he called her an empty barrel and accused her of taking credit. This was too silly. He accused her for taking credit for securing funds for an FBI building in Miramar, Florida that was named after two fallen FBI agents. Yes. This was supposed to be like some big stick.
Gotcha.
She was corrupt too.
Yeah.
She's taking credit for things she doesn't deserve.
Except she didn't
Except
do that, unfortunately.
There was video of this supposed incident of her taking credit and it surfaced and it turned out John Kelly was wrong.
Yes.
So in any case, but the White House really like doubled down. And this is, I feel like the way this escalated is so unnecessary and bizarre that it's almost more fascinating.
Yeah.
Because I don't understand why, first of all, I don't understand why this was why Kelly decided to ding her.
Right?
Like that was such a weird thing for him to get to voice his opinion on. And especially when we learned it was an alternative fact.
Right.
And then the White House stood by the statement and Sarah Huckabee Sanders escalated the message by saying, as we say in the South, all hat, no cattle.
Oh, I see what she did there. She
Representative Wilson is famous for wearing crazy hats. She's a hat lady. Mm-hmm. So, hat lady and cat lady rhyme. I didn't know. I was like, that sounded so right. And then I was
I feel like there's probably some crossover.
It's a Venn diagram situation for sure. Then on Saturday, Trump tweeted, I hope the fake news media keeps talking about wacky Congresswoman Wilson and that she, as a representative, is killing the Democratic Party.
Oh, she herself.
Actually, he said, is killing the Democrat Party.
Oh, yeah, obviously, because that's what he said.
Mm-hmm. Then on Sunday...
Wacky Wilson, he at least stumbled upon, like,
an accidental...
almost decent nickname because he found some alliteration in there.
Yeah.
So, I
by accident, though, because he keeps calling her Wacky Congresswoman Wilson.
I know, just... Come on.
Wacky Wilson.
Yes,
it's so
that's
easy.
It. God.
It's so easy. Then he tweets on Sunday, Wacky Congresswoman Wilson is the gift that keeps on giving for the Republican Party, a disaster for Dems. You watch her in action and vote R.
Meanwhile, no Republican or Democrat knows... or cares who she is.
So true.
By the way. I
like
mean,
zero.
Bless her heart. I don't, not here to
and
denigrate her.
Bless her hats.
And I, yes, exactly. Like, strong hat game.
Yeah.
So, God bless her. But, like, this is not, like, we're not going to the polls, like.
Thinking, I was going to vote for the Dems.
For the Dems.
But I remember Wilson. Wacky Wilson.
Yeah.
But then, when she was finally asked about it, she voiced up, and I think rightfully so, that there might have been some other kinds of isms at play.
Sure.
Wacky Wilson, as we're now going to call her, even though that's...
No, I'm into it.
Yeah. She's African-American. She's a member of the Congressional Black Caucus.
Yep.
And she was basically like, these guys don't like black people, which she's right about. But so then the Congressional Black Caucus released a statement demanding that Kelly apologize to her because, you know, they were all suddenly like, well, this is probably about race.
Yeah.
Which everyone was like, duh.
Yeah, right.
So... This has turned in, this has gone in so many directions over the course of only a few days.
And this is stupid for so many reasons, but specifically because.
Can you enumerate the ways in which this is stupid?
Well, I'm going to enumerate at least the way that I see it's the stupidest.
Mm-hmm. All right, go for it.
Because this is an issue that historically we know is not a good one for Trump.
So true.
His. Handling of dealing with military families.
Yes. As we might remember from Khazir Khan's father's
that's the one.
Heartfelt speech at the DNC and other places.
Yes.
Where he,
all the places.
All the places where he very articulately suggested that Trump's respect for the fallen soldiers is not necessarily, it seems to be contingent on a few things.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And all of those things... involve those fallen soldiers being white men.
Correct. So, like, just leave this one be.
Yeah. Just don't say anything.
Let it go. But he can't.
He can't. He can't let stop it go. Himself.
It's ego.
No, I know.
Yeah. But then all this did was, it was really the fact that he said that other presidents hadn't called.
Yeah.
That set off
like this a chain reaction.
Chain reaction this week. Because then we also found out that he had apparently promised somebody's family $25,000 and then just never gave it to him.
He finally gave it to them when the Wilson story broke.
Yes, of course.
Because right. suddenly everyone remembered.
Yes.
Yeah, it was Army Corporal Dylan Baldridge.
Sure.
I can read. Yeah. He was 22 and he was killed by an Afghan police officer in June. Trump, when he called his father, promised them a $25,000 personal check.
Yeah.
And then it just never came.
Probably white.
Yeah, well, sure. I'm
deserving.
I don't even need to look it up.
Code for deserving.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But so the White House tried to claim like, well, it had to go through this whole procedure and blah, blah, blah. But they wouldn't enumerate what the procedures they were talking about
were. There's no procedures.
Because of course there's no. For a personal check from the president to go to a person, this man still has all of his businesses.
Yeah.
There's no rules.
I know.
He could just write a check to whoever he wants.
It could have come from Melania, too.
Could have.
Or his foundation or whatever.
Literally any of the people.
Yeah. Or Melania's body double.
Exactly.
Who knows?
Yeah. Can she sign checks on Melania's behalf?
Probably.
Because, I mean,
if she's functioning as her, exactly. Then why not?
Why not?
Yeah. I mean, anybody can sign anybody's checks.
Let's be so honest. True. We've also, by the way, everyone should know, have decided to just lean into the fake Melania story.
Oh, I'm there.
We're going with it.
Yep.
We're committed 100%. That's we right. believe it. We're conspiracy theorists. We get it. We don't care.
Yep. And I, not only do I think that, but I also think that that they're, like, giving it to us.
Yeah, on purpose.
I've, like, gone to, like, real dark places over
Brent
this.
Brent has a lot of... He has, like, an extra layer of
conspiracy.
I've
been spending a lot of time there lately. Yeah. In the dark place.
You have to...
I don't know. I don't know why, but I just...
You
really
have to get your... You have to get your sense of normalcy from somewhere in this administration.
Yeah.
And I feel... Like, if where you need to go to survive this is
right.
into a weird conspiracy theory K-hole,
yeah.
then, like,
yeah.
who's to say that's the wrong option?
Right?
I mean,
it's
I don't
working
see,
for me.
Like,
mostly.
The right option isn't great here. But, no. You know, just, like, watching the news isn't great.
No, it's
have a conspiracy theory.
Right?
That was the most entertaining thing that happened to us all week.
For sure.
So,
yeah.
Like...
I know. I was joking with someone that, like, every time I get to this point with them, because I was also just sort of like, yeah, he's, like, he's just, like, really owning this reality show president. Like, he's literally, like, sending us out fucking body doubles for his wife. And then I was, like, I was talking to one of my friends who I work with who obviously vehemently hates him, and as do I.
Right.
But there have been moments, and I have, you will recall all of them from this podcast, where I have really just sort of... decided that maybe I was just in it for the entertainment.
Yeah, the Boy Scout speech.
And then the Boy Scout speech. And then something terrible happens.
Yeah.
And I feel like I don't want something terrible to happen.
No,
but I'm not, like this Melania story, like, got me to the point where I'm sort of like,
giddy
I need like a blatant reminder of his like, you know, intense Nazism.
Yeah.
Or I need something like that. I don't want it. But it would just be helpful for my own personal psyche because, like, I have really been living for this story. And I'm not proud of it.
I feel like we could get there with these fallen soldier phone call stories.
Yeah,
I feel like we might be on our way back to the dark
land of hatred. Yeah,
uh-huh.
And I'm always there.
Right.
Don't get me wrong.
No,
I don't want you to don't send me hate mail.
It's not
liking Trump because I'm not. But
you can't. Watch what's happening here and not find some of it entertaining.
Well, I was going to say, sometimes...
You just have
sometimes it's so terrible that you have to live for the Melania Trump body double story.
That was the first moment
I
understood that was the Trump Steaks press conference
where
I was like, this is such a joke and so concerning and so terrifying.
Yeah,
and I am more entertained than I've ever been, and I got to find one of those to focus on.
It's what's going to get us through.
Yes, exactly.
You know? Like,
yeah, think of the feeling of stress you had just 6 weeks into the Trump presidency.
Right.
And imagine how, if there were none of these moments of levity, how you would have been able to fare.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't looking good. It still doesn't look good.
It still is not looking good.
None of it looks good.
Yeah.
You got to find your survival mechanisms
but
where you can.
But at least, guys... There's a Melania body double.
Yeah, exactly. At least we have that.
Hold on to it.
Hold on.
While we can.
In any case, so In final news, and we're doing a kind of short podcast this week because we were both out of town, yeah. And where I was in Las Vegas, which is where this DNC meeting that happened this weekend took place. And so I heard a little bit of, I overheard some DNC people. Yeah. Well,
you were meeting with the Young Dems,
yes,
right?
Yes, right. We weren't, they're not part of the DNC.
Right.
So some of them were there. The hotel, we were staying at Bally's, which is the hotel that the DNC meeting took place at.
Love it.
So there were a lot of Democrats floating around. And sure. We were living for spotting them. In any case, mostly I heard people griping about how the media was blowing everything out of proportion. Because here's the secret. All these meetings are super boring. And even when the news reports that they're contentious, they feel mostly boring in the right. room. They don't feel contentious because you're bored.
Yeah.
And so that's pretty much what happened. I think the big sort of takeaways were that progressives were unhappy with some of the committee appointments.
Yes.
I will say that from what I heard from a couple of people that had been there and then also versus what I read in the press, it sounded like some of the griping was about the fact that they swept some committees clean and started over. And there were Correct. Some old party hands that were pissed that they got pushed out of their sort of
Sure.
spots. And Right. so there was some of that, but there was also some of taking the Keith Ellison, the reason the progressives were upset is that some of the Keith Ellison supporters lost their appointments Right. as well. And that is not great.
Yeah.
We learned that they're having cash flow issues, according to
Sure.
a lot of reports.
Yep.
No comment on that from the party insiders.
Yeah.
They decided not to force Bernie Sanders to join the party.
That would have been just such a
dick
debacle.
Move. I know. Yeah. That would have been a disaster.
Yeah.
But one really positive note is they placed a new restriction on corporate donations. And this is a restriction they've tried to pass in the past, and they've never done it because it bans donations from corporate contributors whose areas of interest conflict with the stated values of the DNC. And they've never passed it in the past because they were probably like, well, what if we want to take money from Big Pharma?
Right, exactly.
Do our values conflict with Big Pharma?
Yes.
But it was Christine Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi's daughter, who proposed it.
Oh.
And it, for the first, it, they've proposed it for years, and it never passes. And this time, it passed. And you know what? You can thank Bernie Sanders for that.
Yeah, you sure can.
He may not be a member of the Democratic Party at the moment, but you can thank him for that.
That's right.
And
the fact that we even had to deal with this in the first place, because they have had a ban, I believe, on corporate donations.
They had one
before,
previously.
But not, it wasn't necessarily like this specific.
It wasn't this specific,
Right. And the reason that went away is because under
Debbie
Wasserman Schultz was like, fuck that, let's just take the money from where it comes.
We have a populist contender coming at us from the left, but let's take all the corporate money we can.
Yeah, exactly.
That'll make us look good.
Yeah.
But yeah, so in any case, thank you, Bernie.
Yeah, not shocked that they're having
hashtag
cash flow issues.
Thank you, Bernie. I'm not shocked about that either. I know there's a lot of conversation about how all their big donors are pissed at them, but that's half of them seem to be pissed at them because they're just mad that they ran such a shitty campaign.
Well, right.
They're not pissed at them because they don't believe in democratic values. They're pissed at them because they're doing a shitty job campaigning. Yeah.
They also probably sunk a lot of money into that John Ossoff race, too.
Oh, yeah. I know. We're losing some giveaways, you guys. Some real giveaways.
Yikes.
In any case, I'm kind of excited to see what other news stories break from that as the week goes on. Because I feel like there will be a rollout of gossip.
Yeah.
And then I'll get to be like, I was there.
I was going
to
say.
Let me tell you
one
thing.
Claim that you heard about all of it.
Bally's is the exact hotel that the DNC meets at. It's like kind of tacky.
Sure.
It's the GOP meets probably at, you know, one
Caesar's.
One of the fake Italianate hotels.
Yeah.
There's too many of them
there,
by the way. I'd never been to Vegas, and now I've been to all of Italy via Vegas. But I feel like Bally's is like just the kind of place where like all of the carpet's a little stained and like the lighting's weird and it looks like it was sort of like the 80s threw up in there and it smells like the 80s because of the smoke and it just like it has the feeling of what the DNC is, which is...
What shows are at Bally's?
I don't even know.
What?
/ are there shows at Bally's?
Of course. Shows everywhere.
I mean, I guess.
Oh, damn it.
I know.
You didn't have time to go to a show. You were there literally for like 30 hours.
I was there for 30 hours. I did play four hands of blackjack.
Oh, did you win anything?
No, I lost $10. Well, I won one hand, then I had $30, and then so I went in with 20.
Yeah.
And I walked out with 10, which is better than losing 20.
Correct. Yeah. You basically made $10.
Yeah, I made $10.
That's how a gambler would look at that, probably.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I did that.
Great.
So I feel good about having gotten the Vegas experience.
Yeah,
good. I have seen all of historic and modern Italy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They really lean into a theme there.
Oh, yes.
I was That's impressed.
It. Yeah.
I was very impressed.
Yeah. It's impressive. I love Vegas.
It's kind of fun.
It's it
I mean,
is
I
fun.
Would I want to spend more than a weekend there? No.
No.
I'm not insane.
That's what you
do. But
as from as people who live in Los Angeles, you can go for like 2 or 3 days and just really live
lean
it up
in.
And then come on home and you've done it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just leaning into it.
That's right.
In any case, that's the news this week. Next week, the podcast will probably come at us a day late because I will come at you a day late. It won't come at us a day late. I'll be out of town. But we will be here when we're here and you'll hear from us. And is anything exciting happening this week? I don't even know what's coming up this week.
Maybe something.
I mean, I'm sure something will happen.
Something will happen, obviously.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with this budget
situation. And the body double.
And the body double. Most importantly. Brent will keep on top of that for us.
Yes.
He'll report back next week. We'll talk to you then.
Bye.
Bye.